Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. God will bless his word. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for a good passage of the word of God to help our lives. And Father, I know that there is no man in here that's a husband, that's everything he's supposed to be. I know all of us, Lord, need to be more like you, Jesus, as husbands to our wives. And Lord, I know that there's no wife in here, no Christian lady in here that's all she should be as a wife to her husband. And Lord, I pray that you would help all of us tonight to see in your word what you would have us to be. We know your way is best, and we pray that we would be committed to it. We pray that you would give us grace in these things and understanding, and we'll thank you and praise you for that help for our homes, because we certainly do need that help for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, our subject tonight will be marriage as we look in it. And some of the young people say, well, that's not about me tonight. Well, it's probably going to be about you sometime. So some of you may be a widow or a widower, but the Bible's all good. It's just all good. And if there's ever been a time where we need help for our marriages, it's today. And there are a lot of marriage seminars going on in America, but the greatest thing in the world is just look in the Bible and do what it says. Amen. And I don't want to be overly simplistic, because I know there's a lot of people that have problems. And but, you know, the Bible has the answer for all those problems. It really does. And you would think you wouldn't have to say it, but when we're talking about marriage, we're talking about a man and a woman. Amen. I mean, that's what we're talking about. He said in verse 31, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. This is talking about men and women getting married. Such an attack upon matrimony today by so many things. An attack on marriage is divorce. An attack on marriage is people just shacking up and living together and making no commitment to one another. The attack of men with men and women with women, which is that's not a marriage. It doesn't matter what the Supreme Court says. You know, the Supreme Court may one day say you can marry a rhinoceros. That don't mean nothing. That don't mean anything at all. God instituted marriage. He's the one that gave the rules for it. But yet here we're looking at this, and the wife is always addressed first. And ladies, I didn't write that, but God did. And we're going to address it first. But he helps us, because right before he begins to talk about the requirements and the responsibilities of a wife, he talks to all of us that are saved. This is where we can all enter into something. Would you look at verse 21? Verse 21, the Bible says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Do you know, do you understand that if you do not know how to be submissive, you're not only not going to be a good husband or a good wife, you're not going to be a good Christian. Christianity is a life of submission. There, I know we're going to talk about here, and the Bible does talk about this submission and subjection of the wives, but you know, gentlemen, we're all to be submissive to Christ. And even farther than that, we're to be submissive to one another. You see that verse? Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Now this verse is not upending what he's about to say about the proper role of wives with their husbands. It is not a twofold thing. It is this verse, 21, is talking about all of us, whether we are married or unmarried. A Christian is to have a life of submission. And that should be manifested in our life. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5 and get Philippians chapter 2. Submission. You know, that's something that is disdained in our society, made fun of. That's looked at as weakness. If you're submissive to someone, it is thought that you are weak. And that's not the case. Jesus Christ submitted himself to the Father. Jesus Christ submitted himself to his mother and his earthly the one that was Joseph there, he submitted himself to both those parents. He submitted himself to the Romans that were crucifying him. He didn't rise up against them. He lived a life of submission. But there was never a weakness in Jesus Christ. There was great strength in Jesus Christ. Submission is not weakness, it's strength. And the strongest people in the world are people that have learned to submit themselves to God. And God lets us know that fact. Look at 1 Peter chapter 5. Every one of us in this building, doesn't matter if you're married, you're not married. God wants you to be submissive. He wants you to be submissive to himself, and he wants us to be submissive to each other. He wants us to meet the needs of one another. He wants us never to think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think and think that others should just serve us. By love, we ought to be serving one another. 1 Peter chapter 5, the Bible says in verse 5, likewise ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Now, he could be talking about the context of the elder of the church, but I think more generally he's just talking about younger people just submitting themselves to older people. I mean, that used just to be commonplace, you know, just the humility there to people that were older than you are and the submissive character. But then he goes on to say, unless that was not enough, he said in verse 5, yea, all of you, doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter if you're old or you're young or if you've been newly saved or if you've been saved for a long time. He said, all of you be what? Subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Now, it's not just the proud with God, it's the pride with one another. Do you see that? We never should have pride with one another. We ought to have a submissive spirit with one another. We ought to be willing to serve one another. You know, Jesus tried to show that example when he brought his disciples together and he started washing their feet, you know. And even some churches today, not very many, they still believe that practice was something literal that Jesus wanted us to do instead of giving us the example just to serve one another. We ought to literally wash each other's feet. And we don't do that here. We want you to wash your own feet at home. Amen. But you talk about a whole lot of humility. Amen. If I brought somebody up here and had them take their shoes off and then pulled out a number out of the hat or a name out of the hat and asked you to come up and wash them. But you see, that was just the example Jesus was talking to us of what kind of attitude we ought to have with each other. We ought to have that submissive, humble, serving attitude toward one another. You need my help? I'll help you. You need something? Well, I'll put my needs aside and I'll try to be a blessing to you. You know what people are about today? They're just about themselves. And I tell you what, that will never work in a marriage. That'll never work in a marriage. That won't even work in a church. That won't work anywhere. And so he says, before he says anything to the wives, he's saying, look, submission is a principle we ought to be actively engaged in anyway. I mean, we ought to be submitting ourselves to God. We ought to be submitting ourselves one to another. In Philippians chapter 2, he gives us the mind that we have to do that. Philippians 2 and verse 3, he says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. So the way that you are able to submit to someone, you don't think more highly of yourself than you think of the other individual, and that's why you're willing to serve them. You know why people aren't humble enough to serve anyone else or submit to someone? It doesn't matter if it's the police or if it's the government or if it's in a marriage or if it's in children with their parents or some other authority at work or at the church. People have a hard time submitting themselves because they think they're more important than anybody else that would tell them what to do. They think what their opinion is more important than whatever the authority says. And God says, as Christian people, we're to esteem each other better than ourselves. So if I think you're better than I am, then I don't have a problem serving you. I don't have a problem submitting to you. I have a problem submitting to you when I think that I am not in that category of lesser than. If I think that I'm better than you, I'm not going to serve you. You serve me. Now, that principle of submission that's supposed to be in Christianity is so important in the home. It's not just important in our Christian life and in our church. It's important in the home. Because here's the deal. Guys, if our wife is going to submit to us, I've got to be willing to submit to the authorities in my life. I've got to be willing to submit to God myself. I have to give that example of submission. And then, ladies, if you want your children to be submissive to you, you're going to have to show that attitude of submission to your husband, which God says that you need to do. You've got to show that. In other words, if submission is going to be a pattern throughout the home, it should be a pattern throughout all of our Christian lives. And the reason people don't submit is just they think too much of themselves. Their opinion is just way too high. And God says we ought to esteem other better than ourselves. Now, ladies, I know you're better than your husband. But what the Bible's asking you to do is to esteem them better than yourself. Well, how are you going to submit to them if you don't do that? This knucklehead, man, I'm not going to. They don't know what they're doing. Submit to them. But if you esteem someone better than yourself, you don't have a problem with that submission. You know what? Who I esteem to be better than me? I esteem Jesus Christ to be a whole lot better than me. So you know, whatever He tells me, yes, sir. Because I know His words better than mine. I know His thoughts are higher than my thoughts, right? Now, ladies, okay, you may be more spiritual than your husband. You may be smarter than your husband, and that may be true. But God's trying to get us to understand if everything's going to work in the church, if everything's going to work in the home, then we have to follow God's order of things. And submission should not be something that is foreign to us. Submission is something that is foreign to this world. Fight for your own rights. Fight for what you want. Don't let anybody take advantage of you. You know how many people have just busted their head in life just trying to think that everybody ought to treat them the way they ought to be treated? Life's not fair. Life's not about you getting a fair shake or being treated right. Life's about you submitting yourself to God. And if that's a bum deal, just thank God for it and just go on and be glad you're saved and on your way to heaven. Life is not about everything being the way you want it. And the reason that there's trouble in the home, and the reason there's trouble in the church, or trouble in society, is because people have no idea about submission. They don't understand submission. Now, ladies, I'm not going to go through all these texts, but if you want to take little notes, you can just read these passages later. We've preached on some before. I'm not going to do all that tonight. But your text in the Bible for you is Colossians 3:18, which reads like this passage. Titus chapter 2. Verse 3 through 5. Now, this is if you want to be what God wants you to be. And if you'll be what God wants you to be, it'll be better for you. 1 Timothy 2, 11 through 14. And then 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1 through 7. Those are passages to ladies about what God wants them to be. Now, let me tell you what is the attack on all of that. the attack in our society. What I'm preaching tonight is so politically incorrect that maybe one day somebody's going to go to jail for saying what I'm about to say. Because it just goes against the grain. Why do you say that? Why, you're Fred Flintstone or something. I mean, you're in the dark ages. What are you doing? Well, I believe that the Bible is true. That's it. That's all it has to do with. It has nothing to do with my opinion. It has nothing to do with my worldview. What I've done, when I come to the Bible, I check my views and my opinions at the door and say, God, you know what you're saying. And whatever you say is best. And it doesn't matter what society says, because that changes about every 10 or 15 years. That's no place to root any belief system. But the Bible is the place to put our belief. Now, what is the great attack that makes this so strange today? Not in a Bible-believing church and setting, but in the setting of the world. Well, of course, it would be the feminist movement. The feminist movement has been the death sentence to our nation and to our morality and to our homes. That's just true. It's been the death sentence to it. And it's against God and it's against the Bible. And even lost people used to know better. Matter of fact, we have an inference in the Bible about lost people that did know better. Would you hold your finger here and turn over to Esther chapter 1? Here's a lost king and a lost kingdom worldwide that knew better than the feminist movement. And I'm going to tell you something. If they ever get total control of this country, you can just go ahead and move to Fiji or somewhere. There's this idea that, you know, if we just let all the women run everything, then everything will be all right. Have you heard the latest? They've said that, you know who the most hated person in America is? A white male that is cisgender. Have you noticed the terms of our society? Y'all even heard of the word cisgender? A cisgender white male is someone that believes that their gender is the same as what they were born with. They're even having classes to try to rehabilitate us. That's true. The enemy of the culture today and the enemy in this United States of America is a white male cisgender straight evangelical or Christian. That is enemy number one. It really is. And they think if we could just move all those people out of the way and let the women run it. Hey, women didn't found this country. Hey, I praise God for women. I think in the Bible, in the New Testament, probably the people that love Jesus Christ more than anybody were all women. I really believe that. Because they were there at the cross. They didn't leave. I thank God. Oliver Green said, the sweetest thing inside of heaven is a godly woman. I believe that. I really believe that. But God has a pattern for the way things should be done. And a matriarchal society is a society that is against God and against the Bible. God does not want women running the home. God does not want women running the church. God does not want women running the nation. That's not how He set up the whole thing. And if somebody said, well, that's just the old fashioned. Well, it worked. And what they want to do now doesn't work. The whole society is broken. I'm glad we've got good ladies in this church that don't try to run this church. Amen. Praise God for a church where the women don't run everything. Any of you know churches like that? My soul. That's not the way God planned it. That's not the way God planned society or our own homes. And true Christianity is woman's best friend. I'll say that. I mean, Christianity exalts and elevates godly women. I mean, read Proverbs 31. God exalts that type of woman that's a godly lady in the Bible. It's those like Muslim. Now, that's a totally different thing. I mean, God's people, whether it was male or female or Jew and Gentile, we're all level with Jesus Christ. There's no other religion you can find that would do something like that. We're one in Christ Jesus. But look at, I got off track. Look at Esther. Even lost people used to know better. But I keep my mind keeps running. You know they got classes now on toxic masculinity. You shaking your head. You heard about that, haven't you, Michael? These younger guys ain't heard of it. You know what they want to do with these guys at school? They want to put them into a class because they're too masculine. That's what's going on. Why you were raised to be tough, and that's what's wrong with our society. All these tough men. I mean, how many ladies in here want a wimp for a husband? I mean, really? You want that? You don't want a wimp for a husband. You want a real man for a husband. But this world's trying to break down all of those distinctions. Classes to get rid of the masculinity. You know why they're doing that, don't you? To breed perverts, and so the plan of God, how He said things ought to run, won't be run that way. Man, we need men. Jesus Christ was a real man. Stepped up there and preached boldly as we talked about this morning. Real man. Toxic masculinity. What a screwed up society. Going to therapy sessions because you're too much of a man. We need to have therapy sessions to make people more of a man. That's what we need. I mean, let's take them out here, amen, have them chop wood and praise God. Teach them how to shake people's hands and shoot guns. Amen. Get in the dirt and get dirty. Roll around in the dirt. Amen. We need more, but everything the devil's trying to just undermine the whole society. And so look, when you do that, and then you come to a passage that says, wives, submit yourselves to husbands. Here's somebody just throws the whole Bible out and said, I ain't doing that. Because it goes against everything I learned in school, everything I was taught, all the people that I'm around. God is so outdated. What use is the Bible? Well, lost people used to know better than that. In Esther chapter 1, the king's wife would not submit herself to the king. And he just said, you know, bring the queen in, verse 11. I just want everybody to see how pretty she is. Didn't say he did anything untoward there. He just wanted everybody to know how pretty his wife was. Now, he's not a saved man. She's not a saved woman. They don't know God. But he just asked the queen to come in. She said, no, I'm not coming in. And so all the people in the kingdom gathered around the prince and said, we've got to do something about this. Because if you don't do something about this, then all the women, look at verse 17, for this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes when it should be reported. The king commanded Vashti, the queen, to be brought in before him, but she came not. And look what they do. The Bible says in verse 20, and when the king's decree, which he shall make, shall be published throughout all his empire, for it is great, all the wives shall give to their husbands honor, both to great and small. And the saying pleased the king, look at verse 22, for he sent letters into all the king's provinces, into every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man, look at the Bible, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people. That's lost people. That's people that don't even know God, but they know enough that a man's supposed to rule in his own house. We've come a long way. And I'd say this, young ladies, if you don't want to obey a husband, don't marry one. That's pretty easy, isn't it? But that'll be good for you. You know what? If you don't do that, you'll be in danger, though, because that's what God wants you to do. But see, God wants all of us to submit, right? It just depends on where it is. Let's go back to our text. We're in a mess, church. It's really hard. And I pray a lot, and we try to work at our church to have good homes, but it's really hard when the basic principles of the Bible are so foreign to people's minds. You understand? 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. Well, number one, ladies, you only have to do that to your own husband. That ought to be a blessing. He didn't say, women, submit yourself to all men. He didn't say that. He just said, submit yourself to your own husbands. And you know what the blessed thing in America is? You got to be involved in picking who that was. It's not like you weren't involved in this. Oh, it's so rough. Well, you pick out of billions of people, you picked him. I mean, you right? You don't have to submit to everybody. You don't have to submit to the men in this church. Look, I'm the pastor of this church, but I'm not the pastor of your home. I'm not going to come into your home. There's an authority in the home. There's authority in the church. There's authority in government. They're never supposed to be intertwined. That's not the way we do things. The ladies in this church are to submit to their own husbands. We don't lord over the ladies. That's just between you and your husband. You said, well, and then I say, well. That's your husband. Nobody forced you. Nobody put a gun to your head. I'm not as hard a counselor as Brother Farley. Brother Farley said they come in his office and they say about all how terrible the wife is and how terrible the husband is. And he looks at him and he said, well, y'all married each other. If you were that dumb to marry the other one, then you have to live with it, I guess. I mean, you know, there are consequences to our decisions. But not in this world. There are no consequences. But there, look, ladies, you marry. That's why we want to encourage our young people to make sure they seek the face of the Lord and they have a humble spirit and attitude. Because you pick this, you marry this husband, you're going to submit to this individual if you're going to have a happy, healthy, godly home. So number one, ladies, you don't have to submit to your own husband, not somebody else's. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And then he said number two, as unto the Lord. So you ought to submit to your husband as you would submit to Jesus. You say, well, my husband's not Jesus. Well, no, but that's the way you're supposed to submit to him. As if he were. That's hard, isn't it? Well, the Christian life's not easy. You say, well, he does things wrong. Well, okay. God will bless you for doing right. And rebellion to a husband is the same thing as rebellion to Christ, according to this text. As unto the Lord. That's how important it is. Then he says this, look verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, same relationship, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So you're to submit to your own husband, not somebody else's. You're to submit as you would to Jesus, and you're to submit in everything. Now, you're to submit in everything as unto Christ now. Now, Jesus Christ would never tell us to do anything contrary to the Word of God. Right? Jesus Christ would never ask me to sin. Now, the reason I say this is because we live in a crazy world. And you have to give some... You have to give some little guidance here. When he says, wives, submit to your husbands in everything, but he says, as unto Christ, there is always a higher authority than your husband, and that's God. And I'm not even going to get into it, but there could be scenarios that a husband would try to take advantage of a position and try to get or tell his wife to do something that was against God or that was filthy or unclean or a sinful thing. And I'm telling you that God says that the woman is to submit to her husband in everything as unto Christ. But Christ is the head of even the man. So always keep that in mind. And I don't think I want to go any farther than that. Verse 23, ladies, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Should you submit to your own husband, not someone else's? Submit as you would to Jesus. Submit in everything as unto Christ, and submit to him because he's your head. Now, this goes all the way back to Genesis 3:16, where God told Eve that the husband had the rule over him. Or rule over her. And take your Bible also to 1 Corinthians 11. We'll explain that headship principle again to you. 1 Corinthians 11. All this was a result of Eve partaking of the fruit and sinning against God. Again, there are consequences. to someone's decisions. I don't know if when they're in the Garden of Eden, they're Adam and Eve. I don't really think there's, I think it's just a happy, equal relationship. They're just running around having a great time. But after that woman sins and then gives to her husband and he sins, there are consequences of that. And one of the consequences of Eve being the first human being that sinned was that God said that your husband's going to rule over you. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, look at verse 3, but I would have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man, and the head of Christ is God. Now that's important to understand what it means that the husband is the head of the wife. The husband is the head of the wife, just like Christ, the head of Christ is God. Now let me ask you a question. If God is the head of Christ, was Christ and God equal? They were equal. But watch it now. Christ voluntarily submitted himself to God, to whom he was equal to. In Christ Jesus, all the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily. He was God in the flesh. He was equal with God, but he voluntarily submitted himself unto the Father. That is the same relationship that the wife should have to the husband. Look, women can be equal in intelligence. They can be equal in spirituality. They can be equal in a variety of ways. They can't be equal physically. You got to say that because people are crazy today. Well, the wife is the weaker vessel in the sense of the body. And biology tells you that. Equal in all those regards, but the wife voluntarily, just like Jesus, submits herself to her husband because her husband is her head, just like the head of that man is Christ, just like the head of Christ is God. And so it's a voluntary thing. And so the question is, well, my husband makes a mess of everything when I submit to him. Well, pray for him. I mean, my goodness, are you right enough with God to get a prayer through? I remember that one time some people came and they were talking about, we got this pastor that's all messed up and crazy doing all these things. And the answer from old wise man said, well, can you people not pray that guy out? Can you not, people not pray that God would deal with him and take, can you not get prayers answered? That's a different way to look at it, isn't it? Maybe you need to fast and pray. God's not limited. God's able to do what we can't do. And instead of trying to argue your way through a reasoning, go to God and keep in your place in submission and ask God to change hearts. God can change the heart of a husband. God can change the heart of a wife. God can change the heart of children. God can change the heart of parents. I believe that. And we've got to stay where God wants us to stay and be what God wants us to be and then pray that God would help with the rest. You need to submit to your husband because he's your head. That's what God said. It doesn't matter what else society says. God's true. Now go back to our text. There's one other thing for the ladies before he moves on to the gentlemen. Ephesians chapter 5. The Bible tells us in verse 33... Boy, this is so foreign. This is like, you preach this. I bet if a modern day preacher preached this text just like I'm preaching it in a modern church, they'd run him out of town. They'd kick him out just as fast as they'd kick him out just for reading the Bible. Yeah. That's still true. When the world's on fire, it'll still be true. Last thing, ladies, verse 33. And I'd say maybe God put you ladies first. I don't know why, really. Every text, he puts you first. Maybe if God will just help your heart, maybe God will just work on that man that needs a lot of help too. I don't know. But verse 33 says this, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. Look at it, ladies. And the wife, see that she, what's that word? Reverence her husband. It didn't say the wife see that she reverence her husband if she's married the most wonderful man in the world. You know what it means to reverence somebody? You know what our homes ought to have? You know a thing that'll destroy your house that fast? Is people that just don't have any respect for each other. There ought to be some reverence in the house. There ought to be some you ought to talk to each other respectfully. Ladies, you ought to have a reverence for your husband. Well, I know him. Yeah, and God knows you too. God knows all of us. He still loves us. He still does right by us. Ladies, I tell you what. If you, instead of running that man down, if you would reverence him and pray for him, you'd get what you want a lot quicker than trying to just get what you want by what you say. A woman that tries to get what she wants by running her man down, she's going to lose what she's trying to gain. You know why husbands get bitter at their wives? Because their wives never show them confidence. Their wives never show them respect. If you want a strong man, reverence that man. If you want a weak wimp, run him down. The wife, see that she reverence her husband. Words tear things down. They destroy his strength. It'll destroy your relationship. It'll destroy a home. It'll lead to bitterness. It'll lead to a broken home. I know the ladies want their husbands to show them love and show them interest, but the way that is to be done is not to run them down, but to show them reverence, even if they don't deserve that. We're supposed to interact with each other, even if we got to show grace to each other, even if we don't deserve it. That's Christian life. There ought to be reverence, ladies. Now that doesn't mean you don't bow down to him. You know. You don't have to cover your face and cover your head and move backwards. We're not talking about Muslim religion. Just give some respect. Hey, appreciate you working, paying the bills. Thank you. Be nice. Act like they're, I don't know, somebody important. That's what we use is when we say reverence, that's usually what we mean. Oh, we got somebody important here. We need to give them some reverence. I know the wheels are going. Reverence that, he throws his shoes everywhere. He traipses in this house that I've cleaned with the mud on his boots. Be a Christian. Just be a Christian. It'll help you. It'll help your marriage. That other stuff won't help it. The submission, subjection, and reverence to husband. Now let's go to the love, nourishing, and cherishing of the wives. Verse 25, gentlemen, husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. The most difficult commandment given in a marriage relationship, gentlemen, is that we're to love our wives like Jesus Christ loves us. That's the deepest, longest, most committed love in the whole universe. He said the same thing in chapter 3 of Colossians, verse 19. He said that husbands were to love their wives and be not bitter against them. Jesus Christ is never bitter at you. It doesn't matter what you do. It doesn't matter what you do. Jesus Christ never gets bitter at you. That doesn't mean he approves of what we do. That doesn't mean it doesn't break his heart. That doesn't mean it doesn't even move him to do some things in our lives. But Jesus Christ never gets bitter at us. And this is what happens on the side of the husbands. If a husband isn't careful, what he will do, he will get bitter because he doesn't have reverence, because he doesn't have submission, because he doesn't have a close relationship with his wife, and he can get bitter in his own heart. And the Bible says we've got to love our wives like Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. We should never get bitter. We should always have their best interests at heart. We should be committed in love to them no matter what they do or how they act. Love your wives as Christ also loved the church. That love, look at verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own what? their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth who? Loveth himself, verse 33. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. Husbands are to love their wives as much as they love their self. Boy, that's rough. I mean, guys, here's the way we are. You know, at the beginning, we're just excited. And then you see guys later on down the road, and they want to go play with their friends or do this and that other thing, you know, and have their toys and their... In other words, they love the hunting and the fishing. And God says this, love your wife as much as you love yourself. If you love her as much as you love yourself, boy, things would... The degrees will turn up. The temperature will go higher. Be as interested in her as you are in you. Man, that's rough. Because we're all interested in ourselves. All you have to do to be a sorry husband is just to love yourself and not your wife. And the Bible says no man ever yet hated his own flesh. We all love ourselves. But see, we've got to look at our wives as because we're one flesh with them. We're together in this. They are a part of us. And that love has to be unconditional. That love has to be deeply committed. You know what a lot of people get married for? It has nothing to do with love. They get married because they wanted to get married because they get something out of that. They get benefited. How many people go into a marriage trying to give love to the other person instead of going into a marriage because they thought, if I get married to this person, then I'll have this and that and this kind of life? Most people get married because of what they think they're going to get out of it. And that's why half of all the marriages end in ruin. Because I'm trying to get... That's not love. God didn't get much out of loving you and I. He loved you and I for what He could give to us. He loved us more than He loved His own life and Himself. He gave Himself for us. And we have to try to somewhere come to the conclusion that, hey, I don't need to be in love with me. I need to be in love with her. And to do that, look what he says, verse 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. If we really love our wives as Christ loved the church, we nourish our wives. We cherish our wives. We take care of them. Look at 1 Thessalonians. Hold your finger there. Take care of them. Whatever you need. What does it mean to cherish my wife? That's what he says right here. We're supposed to nourish and cherish it. Even as the Lord the church. Guys, how do we nourish and cherish our wives? Here's a verse for you. Scripture with Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 7. But we were, what's that word? Gentle among you, even as a nurse, what's that word? Cherisheth her children. You said, preacher, you just talked about being masculine, being a man. And now you're talking about being gentle. Yeah, you can be both. You can be both. Jesus was both. He was bold and harsh. I mean, he spit in one guy's eyes healing him. That's pretty rough, don't you think? We just heard about that. Calling people vipers and fools. And that's pretty rough. But then he was really gentle too, wasn't he? And you see, gentlemen, if we are like Jesus Christ, if the Spirit of God develops His character in our heart, we can be strong men for the Lord and bold men for the Lord, and we can be gentle with our wives. Because they're not the enemy. Boy, if you could ever get husbands and wives to get to the conclusion that they're not the enemy. The enemy is the devil that's trying to destroy both of your lives. He says, but we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So we need to be gentle with our wives, not harsh with our wives. And that's how we cherish them. That's why we keep them close to our heart and take care of them. I'm afraid that a lot of wives wind up taking care of their husbands. What? I think I'm preaching myself under conviction. I think I'm going to have to bring the piano player to the... Boy, my wife takes good care of me. She does. I mean, I don't even have to ask her to do it. I go in there and my clothes are clean. I didn't say, woman, get in there and clean the clothes. They're always clean. She cooks my meals. I don't come home and say, where's my food? She takes good care of me. But you know what God said? God said, I'm supposed to take care of her. I'm supposed to nourish her. I'm supposed to cherish her. And that extends far beyond just making sure the bills are paid, which that is my job. That is my job to take all that pressure off of her and make sure that she's provided for. But nourishing and cherishing her means that we're to take care of her. You know, as young men, you know, our mothers took care of us. Right? Our mothers took care of us. If I'd let her, my mother would still do more for me than she ought to do for me. She'd probably still be cutting my meat up. I mean, really, she... But a mother relationship with her son ain't the same as a husband and a wife relationship. She ain't your mama. Right? I'm telling you guys, it'll help you. It'll help me. It'll help all of us. It'll help the church. I tell you what, one of my kids will come in and say, you know, what about this other one? This has happened all their lives. What about this other one? And I'll never talk to that one about the other one. I'll only talk to them about them. Because you can't change anybody but yourself. And whatever that wife problem is, and whatever that husband problem is, wherever you find yourself on either side of the road, if you'll just take care of yourself and look at your own heart and change your own heart, it'll help your marriage. But what people try to do is they just look at the other one and they want to change the other one. We never get anywhere. God changed me. What else? Verse 31. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. He joins himself to his wife. He stays with her. He stays with her. He's committed to her. He joins himself to her. I'm with you. And oh, our wives need to know that we're committed to them. I'm with you. I love you. I'm not going anywhere. Verse 26 says about Christ and the church that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives. He's saying that Jesus loves us enough to be the leader in the spiritual things, to wash us and cleanse us. And guys, look, we have some spiritual ladies in our church. And as I said before, some of the ladies can way beyond be the more spiritual one. But guys, we've got to take spiritual leadership and make sure our house is clean and our family's clean and our wife is helped spiritually. We need to take the lead in that. So that sanctified and cleansed and washed. And there's no wrinkle, no spot. That's my job. And I tell you, brethren, if there's a problem, I'm just going to have to take the responsibility myself. Say, Lord, help me. Because I want to cleanse and sanctify and help my home. And if I'm the head, then I need to act like it. If I'm the head, I need to be the responsible one. I need to be the one that's totally committed and all in. Because every day, I and pastors like me get another call. And the devil is working overtime into destroying the marriages and the homes. And if our homes are not strong, our church is not strong. And the work of God is not strong. And we need to guard our hearts and guard our marriages and guard our homes and guard our lives and go to God and say, Lord, I want you to help me to be that husband that loves and cherishes my wife. God, I want to be the wife that submits to and reverences her husband. And be the blessing as you intended us to be. Help me, Lord.